I'm really excited about this topic. It's such a transformative one for both teachers and students.
Absolutely. Today, we're diving into metacognition, essentially, thinking about thinking, and how teaching metacognitive strategies can turn passive learners into active, self-directed ones. It's one of those game-changing concepts in education, isn't it?
It really is. When students learn metacognitive strategies, they don't just learn asterisk what asterisk to think. They learn asterisk how asterisk to think more effectively. It's all about planning, monitoring, and reflecting on their learning processes. And what's exciting is that this approach doesn't just help in one subject, it supports learning across the board.
Exactly. Let's start by painting a picture for our listeners. Imagine a modern secondary classroom. The teacher is sitting at a table, modeling metacognitive strategies with a think aloud. They're pointing to a planning template and a checklist labeled plan, monitor, reflect. The students, from all sorts of backgrounds, are fully engaged, some taking notes, others using tools like traffic light cards, sticky notes, or two-line journals. The whole scene is calm and purposeful. That's what an ideal metacognitive classroom could look like.
I love that visual because it really captures the essence of what we're discussing today. It's not just about teaching content. It's about teaching students asterisk how asterisk to approach learning itself. And that think aloud strategy is so powerful. When teachers verbalize their thought processes, students start to internalize those strategies for themselves.
Right. So, let's break this down for our listeners. Why does teaching metacognition matter so much?
Well, for starters, it helps students identify what they already know, what they need to learn, and how best to learn it. Think about the work of Aucibel and Piaget. They emphasize the importance of connecting new knowledge to prior understanding. Metacognition gives students the tools to make those connections consciously.
And it's not just about individual learning, is it? Social constructivism, for instance, tells us that students learn more effectively with teacher and peer scaffolding. Vygotsky was all about that idea. The more we model metacognitive strategies aloud, the more students can internalize them and use them independently.
Exactly. And let's not forget Kolb's experimental learning model. Reflection, essentially metacognition, is the step that turns experience into a deeper understanding and, eventually, into tested practice. Without that reflective stage, learning can be shallow or fleeting.
That's such an important point. And brain research backs this up too, doesn't it? Reflection, along with repeated and meaningful practice, strengthens those synaptic networks in the brain. In other words, metacognitive routines help make learning stick.
They do. And that's why metacognition isn't just a nice to have, it's essential. But teaching it can feel a bit abstract at first, so I love that there are practical ways to model each phase. Shall we break those down?
Let's do it. So, the first phase is planning. This is where students decide how they're going to approach a task. A teacher might model this by saying something like, "Okay, before I start this essay, I need to understand the question and break it into smaller parts. Let's highlight the key words and jot down a rough outline."
Yes, and you can even use tools like planning templates or visual organizers to support that process. The key is to show students how to think ahead and anticipate challenges.
Then we move on to monitoring. This is all about checking progress while working. A teacher might say, "Hem, I'm halfway through my essay. Let me check. Did I answer the question fully? Are my arguments clear? Oh, and I need to watch my word count."
And students can use things like traffic light cards to signal how they're feeling about their progress. Green for I'm fine, yellow for I'm unsure, and red for I'm stuck. It's a simple but effective way to encourage self-monitoring.
Finally, there's reflecting. Once the task is complete, students evaluate both the outcome and the process. Teachers can model this by saying, "Let's see, what worked well in my essay? What could I improve next time? Did my plan help, or do I need a different strategy?"
And they can capture those reflections in a journal or a short strategy log. The idea is to make reflection a habit so that students can apply what they've learned to future tasks.
It's such a powerful process. But of course, Students are at different developmental stages and have varied learning styles. How can teachers adapt metacognitive strategies to meet those needs?
Great question. For younger students, it might be about using very visual, step-by-step prompts, things like checklists or even role-playing the process. For older students, you can introduce more abstract tools like reflective essays or peer discussions to deepen their thinking.
And for formative assessments, you can actually measure metacognition. For example, exit tickets where students write down what strategies they used, or self-assessment rubrics where they rate their planning, monitoring, and reflecting.
Exactly. The key is to embed these practices into daily routines so that they become second nature for students. And the good news is, there are plenty of ready-to-use prompts and templates out there to get started.
Speaking of which, we've also got a sample 45-minute lesson outline to share with our listeners. It's a great way to introduce metacognition in a structured, manageable way.
Yes, it's a brilliant starting point. So, if you're a teacher looking to empower your students to take charge of their learning, metacognition is definitely worth exploring. It's challenging at first, but the long-term benefits are so worth it.
Couldn't agree more. Well, that's all we have time for today.